in the last role that I was in, I found myself in this zone of competence or a zone of excellence, which I'll give some explanation from this book. And I think a lot of us strive to find this idea of this zone of genius where we're coming alive, where we're finding the best use of our time and our talents. And if we are not there, we're going to be living with this subtle resentment that we have. And for me, I feel like I have done things that have been kind of a low-hanging fruit and have gotten by and have been become a vehicle, but I've always known there's been that itch for more. And I think a lot of people have that if they just tune in, they listen.
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body, mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Manhood Experiment, guys. We're back in town. And this episode, we're doing a little catch-up. We've been busy with our own lives and doing things and recovering from viruses. I'll tell you more about that one. But in the house, we have Jay Dragon, we have Dreams. And we're going to do a little roundtable catching up and see what these guys have been up to health-wise, business-wise, career-wise, family-wise. And this is very much of a free-flowing episode, and it's more of just reconnecting with you guys, the listeners, and also just giving you guys a path of where we're going forward in the next couple episodes as well, too. So with that introduction, I want to say hello to Jay Dragon. Dreams, what are you guys been up to, man? Let's start with Dreams. Take it away, man.
What's good, y'all? How y'all been? It's good to hear your voices.
Good to be
good
back.
To see y'all, man.
The boys are back in town. Yes.
Boys are back in town.
You have that frog voice.
Oh, that, yeah, man. That warm baritone.
Yeah.
You know, it goes away after like 10 o'clock. That's why we always do our episodes like super early in the morning, you know, just giving that welcome to the late night show.
Yeah.
No.
The Barry White.
Yeah. But man, life has been good. I've been getting very creative. The studio have been opening up opportunities there to really hone in different parts of my craft. So as you guys know, I recorded, I guess, a theme song for the Manhood Experiment. Since then, I've been having different friends, local people, local artists reach out to me for production work based on just hearing the theme of the podcast. And
oh, that's so cool.
You'll probably hear my vocals or some production on some other podcasts coming out soon. So it's just pretty cool.
So wait.
Some jingles, baby.
Wait a second. Are you saying that the intro of this podcast is your greatest hit? Let's play that song again. Yeah, let's play that song again.
Just so they know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's been pretty cool. I'm putting it out there and getting back to putting my artistry out there, putting production out there now that I've kind of rebalanced life and reprioritized. Like I told you guys last episode.
Yeah.
I needed to do that. I needed to take a step back and really see, you know, where am I trying to go? What do I want to be in 5 years? You know, I always do this every now and then, but this time it was less intentional and more impromptu. But just as necessary, if you feel me.
We'll dive deeper into that and explore that a little bit more in this episode.
Yeah.
I want to throw it off to Jay, throw it over at Jay, and see what you have going on as well, too. What have you been up to?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to expand on that and see how you've been redirecting your schedule, the time in your, you know, how the time has been on your hands and how you're finding structure, prioritizing things. But life has been different, I'd say that. I think I'm in a funky, fun, different season right now. Just being with the career shift, you know, and pivoting, which I like to subscribe to the idea that all these things happen for a reason. And
yeah,
if I wasn't shining as bright as I needed to be, it was kind of a wake up call from the universe to start expanding and getting back to what really brings me to life. And so a lot of my time lately going through just the challenges of being a happy, cohesive family and meshing up just with all transparency, that's been a struggle. I think having a toddler and our differences, we've definitely had some struggles and had to have some of our help there. And
yeah,
it brings me to a point of just beyond grateful for my network of friends and family, and especially friends where, you know, we talk about on this podcast about how we need to reach out and speak and not suffer in silence and all that. And I was really checked with all of that here recently, being that I take so much pride in being that person that has something positive to say and is always a positive light on everyone else, that I almost don't feel like I want to be a burden and reach out to other people.
That's right.
And I'm really thankful for some of my friends that had no idea what was going on and recently have reached out to me and have just shown so much love in a time where I need it, and I'm thankful. And I think so, it's just a reminder, I want to put that on blast, that gratitude, it's out there, and we have to speak up when we're going through those struggles, and showing that love to the people around you means so much, you know, because the energy is needed in those times where there's some darkness. But
so true. You spoke on it right there.
Yeah, like I tell everyone around me, I mean, you can't beat the optimism out of me.
Yeah.
As far as there's some exciting things, I'm shifting back into putting a big emphasis on the direction of all my health work, getting back into doing some performance coaching and developing some new skill sets. I've been putting a lot of time into understanding the whole online world and advertising and how to interact, get a hold of, whether it's leads and developing, expanding the network that I have. So it's been a fun stage that I'm in right now, and health stuff, we can dive into that a little bit later, but I got some fun challenges. And that's been, for me, it's been a big anchor and North Star for me to double down on my health right now in a time like this, to really make sure that I'm manufacturing the best energy and the best state to be able to show up. And you can probably hear it in my voice. I got a little bit of a bug going on right now,
yeah,
which again is just a big wake up call to really put that priority into the health. And so we can talk about that here a little bit later.
Yeah.
But T, what's good with you, baby?
As you bring up bugs and viruses and stuff, I want to tell, for the last, my sister's in town. I think I mentioned that in the last episode. And then right after that, I got a fever and a little virus. I don't know where I got it from, but it was like a high fever for 10 days. And the thing is, I always see these things as opportunities. I always see it as a spiritual experience. You know, your body, you get to witness your body. At the same time, there's a little bit of suffering, but you get to witness your body working actively to rid of this virus. And you're sweating and you're a little delirious from the fever and stuff. And it's just part of life. I was the first 2 or 3 days, I was just miserable because, you know, you're in bed, you can't do anything, and are you weak, and it's just like, it's like I want to get back to my routine. And it was just a good place to just be silent and be still and let my body heal itself naturally. So I experienced that, and then I'm back in routine now.
It's good
getting my work, now getting back into my workouts. I feel like my body is still a little weaker with the weights, but I'm getting back there. And then I had a bunch of friends come in town this week. So I've been reconnecting with them. Been down on the strip twice this week. And the strip life is definitely, you take it a little bit at a time, you know. You can't always be there every day. But yeah, so that's what's going on. And you know what? Also, I'll dive into a little bit of a book I'm reading. It's called Lucky You. But yeah, that's what's kind of like a high level of what's going on in my life.
That's good, man.
I dig it.
Well, virus wasn't good, but I'm glad you used it as a moment to sit down for a moment. That was your body telling you probably, you know what? We're tired. Sometimes we gotta really dive into what our natural self is telling us.
It is a spiritual experience.
And go beyond the things that we think are necessities, such as, no, I need to be at this place this time. I need to get this project done. I need to get this done by this deadline. And these things are sometimes tearing us to, you know, small pieces at a time, just pecking at us until we really do need to just sit down because we don't have enough of the foundation physically, or based on our nutrition, we eating enough, based on just how much time we're spending resting, to go on at that pace, you know? So I'm glad that you were able to sit down for a moment.
And I think rest is one of the things that is very necessary. And when you feel something like this coming on, you just don't go out and just try to work out and do your normal daily life. Your body just needs rest. And at some point, that has to be precedent in your life.
So true.
Yeah, and to touch on that, I think we have to really identify what is rest and rejuvenating to us. Because there's times where you got people in town visiting, and so you have things tugging and pulling at you. You know, you have obligations and things that you need to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you pay a price and you're sacrificing with how much you're giving if you're not really being intentional about what recovery is. And some recovery is just RSVPing things that you know, activate that parasympathetic nervous system and calm your nervous system down. Or it's really sticking to a game plan when it comes to prioritizing sleep and really getting in tune. Because I can say I felt this coming. I saw people around me getting sick. And instead of taking it easy, I was having so much fun with training. I was probably overreaching a little bit. And then I was surfing without a wetsuit, so it was cold. And I was probably shivering,
cold,
think can make you resilient in the big picture. But when your body's probably already fighting something off, I really threw a lot at myself. And so, yeah, that was certainly a sign to take a break. I take a breather.
Sometimes we do that when, say, we're dealing with things in life. Maybe we want to redirect it, right? So sometimes a good way to deal with stressors is exercise, but everything in moderation, right? Because there's times where you can put so much energy out. You have to take account, like you always say, you know, take account of what's going back in. I'm giving energy to here. I'm giving energy to wifey. I'm giving energy to toddlers. I'm giving energy to new ideas. I'm giving energy to family, friends, hosting takes energy. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of energy.
Hosting
takes a lot of energy. Like, we had two birthdays back to back. And like, whenever we talk about birthdays, my wife, like, please don't say that you're going to cook and barbecue. I'm like, that seems like the cheapest thing to do.
That's a lot of work.
But it's very expensive in time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And energy as well.
And energy, which are probably the most valuable things. You can make more money if you find somebody who can make more time, send them my way. We got a lot to talk about. But these are things that we have to now consider. And like, we simplified the birthday, and it's probably the best birthday we had. We went out and did it somewhere. It was like no cleanup and everything. It was like, wow, we got so much of our time and day back and energy after to actually enjoy the rest of the day. So really reprioritizing my mind, my mental, how I think about things, how I think about time, I think has been one of the biggest pieces here. Like, recalibrating my whole system based on the most valuable resources. Which I've recently discovered to be time, you know?
I'm really curious about that, you know, because you've been in this role for however long it's been. We'll say last however many years, decade or so.
Over a decade.
And now you have more time on your hands. How do you feel? And you own your time and you can control your time. Like, how does that feel to have the lack of structure externally coming in from somebody else? And how has that felt? Have you had any challenges with that, or are you finding it energizing to be able to pick and choose what you're doing with your time?
You know, I'm gonna get real vulnerable with you. I realize how structured I am at work and the individual I am at work to my clients, and have come to the conclusion that I'm not the same person.
Yeah.
For myself, to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, for all these years, my calendar is crazy, like, in my professional world there. But just recently have I connected all my, say, Google calendars from different emails and things like that. I use this email for this particular business for house things. I use this email for creative opportunities with Dream Crave for my company. And I haven't actually put them systematically in a calendar where everything's in one place to allow me to easily communicate and look at my day to see how busy I am. And I did this just recently, and I realized how full that schedule was. And I was like, how have I been maintaining this? I got a calendar over here. I got a calendar over there. But my left hand's not speaking to my right hand. And then we have a joint account email with my wife based on just goals that we want, such as we're planning to build an ADU in our backyard, right? So I've had time to look over this plan, look over ideas about it, apply the things I've learned from work and, you know, the time as far as rates, time in the market as far as what the rates could potentially be in about 12 months? And is this a good investment to make sure that this is an asset that benefits the family, right? So all these things that I've been more creative about as far as income and endeavors, I've not had the time to do before because I was giving my best hours to my career.
Mm-hmm. The 9 to 5.
By the time I get home, I would have some of these ideas on the road. But then I get home, I see the kids, kiss the babies. I'm tired to even apply any of the ideas or the creative endeavors that could potentially get me where I truly want to be in life.
You know what? I want to add a quick story there. Story time.
I love story time.
Back when I was in Trinidad, I used to work in the city, Port of Spain, and it would take me roughly about an hour and a half to drive to 2 hours to drive to the city because of the traffic, and then 2 hours back. Mm. So I lose up to 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours if it's raining, right? And then that does not include work time. So I would leave in darkness and come home in darkness. So I decided at some point, this is not going to work in my life because I can't do anything. Weekends, I just want to sleep. I just want to stay home and sleep. I can't do anything with my life. So what I did, I got a job at a school. It was same IT work at that time, but I knew it was a transition for me. And guess what? 2:30 comes, school is finished, dismissed. Now I have all this time. And guess what? That's where I started to read and learn about marketing, online marketing and personal development. And it just opened up more doors for me after that. And that is the reason I came to the US, because I was able to expand myself because I had a lot of my time back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a quick story there.
No. And I'm glad that you shared that, because I know there's so many of us, including our listeners, that have these ideas. You got dreams. You have these goals. 10 years ago, you thought you would be at a certain place. Or 5 years ago, you thought you would be at a certain place. And that 5 years came so quick. And you're like, how? Like, I'll end with this. It's interesting because in the investment world, we talk about how, you know, it takes money to make money, but we don't always consider that it takes time to make time. Mm-hmm. And that's the point I'll end on.
Ooh, I like that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah,
let's throw it over to Jay. T, what questions you got?
Yeah, Jay, I wanted to ask you a little bit about performance coaching that you're pursuing right now. And you mentioned a book that you read that motivated you. Could you speak a little bit more about that and the transitions you're making right now?
Yeah, so I mean, my current position is I have a little bit of a small nest egg and a runway to give myself the time that I need. And I feel like this is a test from the universe to really see if I'm about it, if I'm about what my big passion is and really getting back into the health performance coaching world. I feel like in the last role that I was in, I found myself in this zone of competence or a zone of excellence, which I'll give some explanation from this book idea. And I think a lot of us strive to find this idea of this zone of genius where we're coming alive, where we're finding the best use of our time and our talents. And if we are not there, we're going to be living with this subtle resentment that we have. And so a friend of mine who I look up to, I'm hoping to have on here as a guest, is very well read. And I was asking her opinion on a book she was reading. And she's like, actually, I recommend this book, similar idea, in this book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this.
I know Gay Hendricks, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the way to simplify this book and you think about The Big Leap is it's a big leap from perspectives, like you taking what you're familiar with and jumping up to something bigger. And that could be a career shift, a different perspective on life and how you're going about things. And for me, I feel like I have in the past have done things that have been kind of a low hanging fruit and have been competent, you know what I mean? And have gotten by and become a vehicle. But I've always known there's been that itch for more. And I think a lot of people have that if they just tune in, they listen. And what this book breaks down is this idea that there's four zones. We all find ourselves in these zones, especially throughout the workplace. And just to simplify, you have four of them. So the zone of incompetence, think about this as something like when you're doing a task that anybody else could do, it's like fixing a printer, like where your time could be utilized a little bit better. Like other people could do these things better than you and more efficiently. Zone of competence, that's number two. And that's things that others do as well as you. And so you're only going to be mediocre at best. Like you could do these things and you'll find yourself like parts of your business where eventually you need to hire somebody else to do this so you can do things at a higher level. Mm-hmm. The next one that a lot of people get stuck in is the zone of excellence. And that's this idea of a skill set that you have that's it's reliable, you're comfortable, but it also can equal a long, slow death in the sense that you're not really coming to life, if you think about it that way. So you're good at this area, but it doesn't feed your soul. And that's been something that I've been talking about with our last role with our marketing department, talking about like, does this have soul or are we just kind of doing things to do it? And the zone of genius is the idea that we're trying to get into. And this is what I'm focusing on right now. And I'm going all in and moving the chips is it's the area where you thrive and you come alive the most. It's the area that you may think like, gosh, that'd be nice. But we really have to, this is what Dreams was just talking about. We have to take the time to think about like, what if life was fun and is adventurous and I was doing something that really brought me to life and I was using time and my talents combined to be able to get the most out of that. And so that brings me to realize in order to do that, there's skill sets that you need to do to be able to take whatever your product or service is or however you're trying to help or you're offering to the world. And you need to find out how to package that up and deliver that. And that is the stage that I'm back into right now is, you know, back when I was coaching before, I just relied so much on referrals. I'd collaborate with people. I'd put out content. I've been out of that world for a few years now. And so getting back into that, you know, some things have changed in the world as far as being seen. And, you know, it's so easy to be obscure when you have something to be able to offer. And so understanding the marketing world, how things have changed with advertising and being able to connect with people more. But this book has been really helpful. I think that it breaks down some different ideas, some tools. The last one I'll talk about for this book is you've heard these ideas of mantras, you know, and I've been going through some fun times right now where that mantra can be like an anchor to be able to get you back into alignment. And what Gay Hendricks calls this is a central guiding intention. That's kind of the more like practical way to think about this. But this one is really cool that I've been repeating is I expand in abundance, love, and success every day as I inspire those around me to do the same.
I like that.
And what I think is so cool about that is as you say these things to yourself, you now can take inventory, which we talk about all the time on a regular basis. Like, am I living in alignment to where my zone of genius is? And if you're continuing to expand in those areas, you are compared to if you're not, you're constricting. And when you're constricting, you're cutting off other options. And so in order to expand, you have to get uncomfortable. You're going to have to learn new things, develop new skill sets. So I'm in the midst of that right now.
Say it again. Say that one more time for the people in the back. In order to expand what?
In order to expand, you have to get uncomfortable. You have to seek out new challenges. And you need to know that that's the beauty in life is developing those skill sets that you have and going through those adventures. It's why we watch movies. It's the hero's journey. It's why we play video games for those challenges. But yet, so often, and I've been tempted with this, I've had different offers to like go back into something that's kind of a lateral role. And I have to have that conversation with myself is by me doing that, am I going back into a zone of competence or excellence that I would find comfortable? And so I feel like this has been a gift. It's challenging. I'm in the midst of it right now. I'm in the dirt. I'm getting my hands dirty and I'm being challenged on a daily basis with imposter syndrome, with comparing myself to what other people are doing. And so I have some clients and I'm working on a whole new system of how I manage that and really developing, fine tuning what that niche is going to be to make sure that it's something that really fires me up to be able to move forward with that.
That's huge, man. That's a fun place to be.
Yeah.
I got to comment on that. That's a fun place to be. It could be a little nerve wracking at times because you're jumping back into something. And as you go back, you're like, hold on, this is not the same way I left it. Things are different.
Yeah.
The way people are getting there now is different. The the methods that people use are different. I have to learn some of these methods and find out what works for me again.
And there is so much information. It's learning to narrow that down to single-mindedly focus and organize your thoughts to make sure you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And find out what's the useful information, what's unnecessary, what you don't necessarily need to retain for it to work for you.
Yep.
You know?
I have a quick question for Jay. You spoke about that genius zone. What does that look like? Because I know you do coaching and you have created online content, but I know for a fact too, you have written some very good books as well too. Where does your passion lie in that realm? Was it all of the above, or is it like there's a specific thing that I love doing?
No, I think it's a good question. I think that just in examples, I broke down those different zones. Like I feel like I did a lot in the zone of competence or excellence because it worked so well for me. That doesn't necessarily mean that I was challenged and fulfilled at the same time.
I see.
So it's a good question. And the zone of genius for me is a fulfilling state where I am doing work, helping empower others.
I love it.
And for me, I love the habit development, the personal development side of things, the nutrition, the behavioral side of things. But things like training and fitness have always been a vehicle, which I've been known for in the past.
Yeah.
But it's not that thing that brings me to life. Because to me, there's so many different vehicles there. So for me, the zone of genius is in creating purposeful, valuable tools that can be used to help empower people. And
that
is what fuels me and energizes me to be able to do that side of things.
And we'll link to, for the listeners, we'll link to Jay's Instagram in this episode in the show notes. So you could connect with him. Yeah.
And that's part of things. So lately I've been trying to get back into making content a whole lot more. And there's something I found with that as I've put content out, if I can think like, am I trying to do this to speak to somebody or solve a problem? It has been more fulfilling and detaching myself from, is this getting enough views or is it a popular type of thing? And so that has been an area that I think has kept me in alignment lately. As I put that out there, I get a good feeling of the purpose factor that brings me to life.
Yeah. My friend Morgan, I think you know her, Jay.
Yeah.
She teaches her Instagram and she doesn't get like thousands of views, but the views she gets, it matters. And she's making well over 300K a year now from her Instagram stuff. And she doesn't have thousands and thousands of followers. And she teaches people, you know, just a couple hundred people, but it's the people that resonates with your content. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about.
And I want to touch on this because I think this is really valuable that we got into this. Like that is such a reminder. And I found that out with content. Like when you're speaking to your people, to your audience, to your passion, to your zone of genius, that's when you come alive, your frequency goes up and other people tune in to that frequency. And it is not always going to be what you think it is, because it's not going to be what the world like has given you this idea about it. You'll know it when you feel vulnerable and you feel like you're putting yourself out there. But people will connect with that. And I think that's the same with art and music dreams. I think you can tune into that. And for me, one of the biggest challenges with all of this is I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm 38 years old and I have a family to provide for. And so it's a different real feeling, like with my, I have my back against the wall type of feeling. But at the same time, I'm so optimistic knowing that I have this ability to do these things. And so that's what makes things really interesting right now.
Jay, I thought you was the youngest out the clique. I thought you was the youngest Leo, dog. You looking good, baby. Thank you looking good, dog.
That's what I'm trying to help people with. Thank you, parents.
Man, see, y'all need to tune into his Instagram. Get that fit. Getting your physical, get your physical education on. But no, you spoke about that. Something that really lights that fire for you, finding that passion. That's something that resonated from what you said with me. And as I've been in this state to where I've taken on different opportunities to interview different companies and things like that, and then they're interviewing me, and I go down a list of things that I've done. And the thing that I keep realizing that I get most passionate about when I go down my accomplishments, because you're selling yourself, right? Like, what value can you bring? And it's been a financial education. When I talk about the time when I was back in DC going to the local high schools, just teaching budgeting and teaching just the basics of financial education, to going to the colleges and teaching maybe more high level course of how to manage, you know, finances, wants versus needs and things like that. Those are the things that really fueled me. And recently, me and my wife went to an award ceremony for this volunteer event out here in San Diego to where they help foster kids, right? So as I was talking to one of the members there, kind of really understanding what they did, I forgot that, or I remembered how when I first started this career, my goal, a part of my fire was aligning myself with different groups and nonprofits in the community. And since I've been out here, it's been a lot of, I don't want to say self-serving, because I know I've helped a lot of people at my career, but say my extracurriculars haven't been aligning myself with the nonprofits and the people in the community and taking time. I'm like, that's a big piece of who I want to be, or who I said I wanted to be at this age, of that vision. You know, if I put it on a vision board, this checkbox of philanthropy or giving back or community service. And I haven't been checking that box the way I wanted to. So it definitely stood out to me what you were talking about, finding those things that are most fulfilling about you. When you find that piece to where you can give back, it's typically when you do feel like your best self, you know? And I just wanted to speak to that because it stood out, and I'm glad you pointed it out. Maybe I needed to hear it.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's good insight.
I'm glad you shared these thoughts deeply, because, you know, sometimes in life we're so caught up with what we're doing, we don't look out the outside perspective, and it's like, what do we really fuels us and drives us and connects with our passions? So
we can rationalize so often with, we should be doing this because we've invested this much time in the past, and we should be doing this because we're shouldn't on ourselves. But that alignment factor, if for those listening
on yourself,
like that alignment can guide you. And I just know it sounds a little woo-woo, but if you think about that, there's still a lot of work that goes into that. So for me to do what I'm doing, it's not all about like, oh, you know, because passion doesn't always pay. You know, you have to still put in the work to be able to stay focused. And there's still so many things that I don't want to do that I have to do in order to be able to get that, you know, to be able to connect with people and to be able to get my message out there and to be able to work with people. And whether that's learning how to organize your time in a system better, I'm going through a lot of that right now, is just understanding the system, or building out that big picture and reverse engineering. It can be really overwhelming, but it can be done.
It can be done. That's what the growth is. That's what the growth is.
That's where the growth is, for sure.
T knows this better than any of us.
Well, I
mean, being a business owner, you know,
I've been doing my thing here, trying to figure out life, man. We have a few minutes left. I wanted to share a book I was reading, and then we could wrap up with the final theme of the episode, I guess. I've been reading this book called, it's by Price Pritchett. It's called Lucky You, and it has small anecdotes on personal growth. And I wanted to stress that it's not what book you read, but it's just making time to read something that expands your mind. And I do a little chapter every night before I go to bed. I have this book right on my nightstand, and it has concepts like hang out with successful people. And he goes a little deeper, obviously, break your routines, talk about taking risk. And I think this is trust your intuition, which is very much what we're talking about here. And I think when you are in your comfort zone a lot and in routine, and you feel like you want expansion, but you just don't know, I think just having additional thoughts from people who have taken time to write very good books like this book, Lucky You, is definitely something I'd recommend doing, recommend this reading to just expand your mind and help you at your decision-making. Having said that, I want to ask you guys, what theme or what ideas you want the listeners to take away today? And we'll wrap with that as the experiment.
The first thing, the first point I would say, find time to rest. Rest is one of the most important things we could do for ourselves.
And define rest, because Jay was specific on this. You have to define rest.
Yes. Like R&R should include the relaxation part. If you call it rest, but you're actually not,
you're scrolling on your phone.
Scrolling.
That's not true rest.
Doing something to continue to stimulate your mind or your mental in a place where you're not, you're problem solving. Mm-hmm. Problem solving is not rest.
Right.
Let's just get that out there. Problem solving is not rest. You mm-hmm. need time to have clarity of thought. Go to a beach where there's nothing to solve. Go take a walk where your mind is about walking, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't have to be hiking where you're sweating it out and things like that, but something that's relaxing. If there's a breeze, wind in your hair, somewhere you can think, or just sit in the bed just an hour longer. If you got the time, just make it intentional. You know what? I'm going to plan a day to where I can actually be in the bed for an hour longer, just me and my thoughts and maybe some calm music.
Yeah,
that's rest. Mm-hmm. And it can go a long way. Yeah. You know, I would say point two, it takes time to make time. I think that's a point that I introduced in the episode after T introduced, you know, resting and relaxation and what rest can do for you. So it takes time to make time. So make sure that you're making time to be able to, or investing time in yourself so that you can create more opportunities to think of these great or grand ideas that you know you have in you, that potential that you have in you. You don't want it to go to waste. You don't want it to just be stored potential. You want to make that thing kinetic at some point. You want to hit, impact something. And the third topic, I would say Jay brought it up in his conversation, was the four quadrants of capability, capacity. You'll probably be able to explain it better.
The zones, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to let you take it. Pick it up. Pick it up.
Baby. Yeah, we got the four zones. Just think of these about a level of efficiency to what really makes you come alive and fulfillment. And so you got four zone of incompetence, zone of competence, zone of excellence that a lot of people get stuck in. And then zone of genius is what we are seeking. But understanding how to change the thermostat that we have, like we're only familiar with what we're familiar with. We talk about that a lot. So a good book to pick up. That could be an action step, taking inventory. And yeah, baby, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, this is the Manhood Experiment.
Boom.
We out. Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.